Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's very own personal finance podcast. This special episode is an investor education initiative by Kotak Mahindra Mutual Fund. Many young investors entered equity markets and started investing directly for a variety of reasons. People started working from home, youngsters had a lot of time on their hands. So what to do? The open demat accounts started investing in equity markets. And as luck or whatever you call it, have it, equity markets also started to go up. So NSDL says that they have over 2 crore demat accounts. CDSL says that they have over 3 crore demat accounts as per the latest figures available. And at the same time, you also saw people taking money off the table as far as their mutual fund investments are concerned. So the big question we're asking today is that should you invest directly in equities or should you still stick to mutual funds? I'm joined by an expert today who's actually an expert at both. He's also a very good stock picker, but at the same time, he's also a mutual fund veteran. Say hello to Nilesh Shah. He is the Group President and Managing Director at Kotak Mahindra Asset Management Company. Hi, Nilesh. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, Kezad. Thank you for that kind introduction.
Thank you for joining us. Let me just first ask you a sort of a tricky question. I mean, you know, the industry has lost a few customers over the last few months because people have been making money. They want to book profits. You know, markets have gone up. But at the same time, you know, a lot of investors are actually taking money from mutual funds and like investing directly in equity markets. So you think you're going to be getting some of those investors back? Have you got some of those customers back? Or how? What's the latest over there?
So undoubtedly, Kezad, as you mentioned, we have seen redemptions in equity mutual funds. However, the good part is that number of investors in SIP has kept on increasing. And while the amount of overall SIP did came down, but the number of investors kept on rising. Second, we are also seeing addition of new customers to mutual funds. So it's more like existing customers of mutual funds are taking their money out, whereas new customer keeps on powering in. Overall, there is profit booking at customer end. There is diversification into other asset classes like real estate, because most of the people in work from home environment have found that they are one room short. And third, there is definitely some portion going towards direct investment also.
Okay. You know, young millennial investors, okay, they face this question, should we go directly into equities or should we go directly into mutual funds? We'll get into the specifics a little later as we go along. But Nilesh, objectively speaking, I mean, I know that you've been in the mutual fund industry for as long as we've known you, but should you hold both or should you hold just mutual funds? Or is it okay for millennials to actually invest just in direct equities?
So essentially, a lot will depend upon your temperament. A good cricketer can play T20 one day as well as test match. But some are specialized for test match, some are specialized for T20. It's all about your technique and temperament. If you are a research-oriented person, you will study company balance sheet, see and attend their conference calls, read about them, keep a track on them, then direct investment is better. But if you are going to depend upon your neighbor for advice on which stock to buy, then I will prefer that you come via mutual fund rather than going direct. In between these two extremes, all combinations are possible. In very simple sense, suniye sabki, kariye apni. Do your own research for investment in stock as well as in mutual fund.
Okay. So you're saying it's not like a one size fits all. You're saying that if you can do research on your own, and that's very important that you said, which we must stress for our listeners, that you must be in a position to do your own research. If you want to go direct equities, you should not listen to your neighbors. You should not listen to your tips or whatever other people fill your ears with, and then invest in direct equities. Otherwise, it's safer, you're saying, that to invest in mutual funds. You know, one complaint, Nilesh, that I always hear from, you know, young investors, millennials, especially who want to see some kind of visible gains in the portfolio, maybe not today, tomorrow, but, you know, a few months down the line. They say that, you know, paisa dikhta hai, profits dikhta hai when you invest in stocks. But in a mutual fund, the way the mutual fund is structured, of course, it's a very diversified holding. Some stocks go up, some stocks come down. So it takes, and plus the distributor's advisor always say that, you know, you have to stay invested in a mutual fund for at least 3 or 5 years. So it takes a little bit of time to see gains in your equity mutual fund. Whereas if you hold a few stocks in your portfolio and if the markets go up, that your goes up your stocks portfolio. So that's one complaint that millennials always have, that it's, we can see the gains more visible in our stocks rather than in mutual funds.
So in reality, Kaisad, one has to look at the portfolio. As a human nature, if something moves, we notice it. But something moves steadily at a slower pace, we don't notice it. And I'll give you an example. Very recently, in one of our webinar, a customer told me that, Nilesh Bhai, your funds haven't done as well. And look, the stocks I bought, they have moved up so much. Now, it's a very fair comment. And I said, sir, how much money you have invested in those stocks? And what about rest of your money? And then he realized that he has made far more money on his mutual fund portfolio because that's where bulk of his money was invested. Whereas the stocks which he bought was more for casual purpose. Percentage return on that stock is more, but absolute return on mutual fund is far higher. As I mentioned, there will be legends like Nimish Shah, Rakesh Jhunjhunwala, Radhakishan Damani, Ramesh Damani kind of investors who on their own will make far more money than what a mutual fund manager will be able to make for his client. But then please remember that they do their research, they take leverage, they take concentrated bets. Their risk appetite is far higher than a mutual fund manager. We are more of a optimizing return per unit of risk taken. If you take higher risk, you will be able to generate higher return undoubtedly. But will you be willing to bet that kind of money on the stock which you have bought? People end up confusing between percentage return versus total return.
Okay, that's fair enough. But you mentioned the example of your one of your investors who met you up in a webinar. You know, I have an old 91-year-old neighbor. My uncle says that, you know, look at my portfolio. I've invested in all, and you know how old gentlemen, old people have been investing in stock markets religiously since 70s, 80s, 90s. And they said that, you know, we have our investments in blue chips. Okay, these are big companies. They're not going to go bust. They're not going to go anywhere. And 20 years, 30 years, they've held those portfolios and they've grown phenomenally over the years. Okay, why should I invest in a mutual fund? I will just hold a few blue chip stocks and that's about it. I mean, these companies are not going to sink. So what would you say to them?
So I remember a friend's, you know, story. When his grandfather died, they opened up, and this was, you know, early 90s. So it was all okay. Still physical papers. It was not DMAT.
No DMAT, yeah.
When they opened the Patara, they found many share certificates. Now, some of these companies were undoubtedly blue chip even at that point of time. But some were yesteryear's blue chip. He had shares in companies which shut down.
Okay.
He had shares in companies which were great companies at one point of time, but then they fell down. In BSE Sensex also, if we see, companies keep on changing. In Nifty also, we see companies changing. So when you're investing in today's blue chip, be sure that that remains tomorrow's blue chip also. If you're not going to keep track of that, then you may end up with duds in your portfolio. Now, you know, many of Parsi families have traditionally invested in many of the Parsi groups. Now, has all those companies delivered similar return? Answer is no. Even within India's most respected business group, Tata's, the range of difference in return between Tata Steel, Tata Motor, Tata Consultancy Services, Voltas, Tata T or Tata Global now are completely different. So one, when he says that I'm investing in blue chip, ensure that it is not just today's blue chip, it should be also tomorrow's blue chip. And this is where a professional manager plays an important role. You make maximum money in, you know, if I give this strategy, see, you have lots of monkeys. Few become gorillas and few become King Kong. Now, the trick is identifying monkey and then investing along with it so that it becomes gorilla, and then investing along with so that it becomes King Kong. You make maximum money. Or the trick is to remain with King Kong all throughout and ensure that it doesn't die. So there is need for professional expertise in identifying tomorrow's blue chip, in ensuring that today's blue chip remains tomorrow's blue chip also. Many a times I have seen investors investing in today's blue chip to realize later on that they ended up investing in tomorrow's duds.
So it's a benefit of hindsight also. I mean, I told you the example of my neighbor uncle. He's been able to say that because today, 30 years later or 40 years later, he could say that, okay, some of those companies ended up remaining blue chips. But I'm sure in his portfolio also, as you rightly said, there would be a lot of dud investments also where he may have invested it earlier, which he wouldn't have realized that time that, you know, absolutely, some of these companies wouldn't exist also 40 years
and later. More importantly, this 91-year gentleman has made money because he has been a long-term investor.
Correct.
He didn't measure his performance on a day-to-day basis. Not all his stocks would have run and delivered similar return from day one. He would have taken downside of 91, 92 Harshad Mehta scam, 2000 technology media bubble, 2008 subprime crisis, 2013 taper tantrum, 2016 demonetization, and 2020 COVID-19. So all the pain which he took in terms of volatility and downside, that's why he has made so much money.
Okay. So this brings me to my next question, Nilesh. Is it fair to, suppose if you have an equity portfolio with you, if you have a mutual funds, equity mutual funds portfolio with you, is it fair to even compare returns between the two? How should you approach that? Because you get everything in an NSDL statement or a CDSL, or if you have a demand. Over there, you come to know that, you know, this is how much your money has grown.
So at the end of the day, one will have to define their investment objective and risk profile. Now, many a times people end up investing small sums of money in direct investment because they don't have conviction. But you are comfortable putting large money in mutual fund because you have conviction that the fund manager will do a great job. Now, in this case, because you are taking disproportionate risk as an individual, your returns could be higher. But please remember that as mutual fund, I have no idea when you will demand redemption. So I keep cash for meeting redemptions. As mutual fund, I have to follow SEBI regulation, which is you can't put more than 10% in a stock. I'll give you an example. I went to meet in Kolkata a businessman who was a fairly large investor himself. And he complained to me that, Nilesh bhai, your funds are not doing well. Look at my portfolio. It is like this. And your funds are like this. And I said, sir, your investment is really fantastic. And I must appreciate your stock picking bill. But what is your portfolio? I would really love to understand how you have invested to generate this kind of return. Now, 99% of his portfolio was invested in one stock. That happened to be his son-in-law's company. And as father-in-law, he had done venture capital investment in that stock. Now, this worked out for him. And that stock delivered great return. I said, sir, this is not investment. This is your family heirloom. Please remove that and let's compare the return. Then my returns were like this, his returns were like this. So if you take disproportionate risk, you can generate disproportionate return. Mutual funds is all about optimizing risk and optimizing return. I can't run like a hedge fund. I can't run leverage position. I can't run concentrated position beyond the limit. I operate within the boundaries, and in those boundaries, I deliver optimum return.
Okay, okay. That's fair. That's a fair way of comparing an equity portfolio with your mutual funds portfolio. Nilesh, there's one aspect about mutual funds that, you know, not many people know and perhaps not many people appreciate. And that is the structure of a mutual fund. Now, we know that the money that investors invest in mutual fund actually lies in a trust. So you as a fund manager, Nilesh, you also cannot touch that money and run away. It lies in a trust. It is taken care of by trustees. The trustees are appointed, you know. So can you explain how is this different from the way other investments operate in the world of finance? Because we've seen so many people, like let's say cooperative banks, you know, their money is stuck and, you know, money is being lent out. We hear horror stories about them in the papers every day. How is mutual fund structure superior than other investment structures.
So undoubtedly, SEBI over the years has built a structure which safeguards investors' interest. SEBI, and we believe that sunshine is the best disinfectant. The level of transparency which mutual funds provide is not visible across any financial instrument. All our portfolios are disclosed now at 15-day interval. You exactly know where your 100 rupees invested in what proportion. Number two, that entire ownership of our investment is with the trustees and it is guided by the board of trustees. They appoint custodian who will, you know, own and manage our investments. There will be banks where money will go when we do buy, sell or portfolio matures. And those money can be utilized only for paying unit holders. This regulation, trust structure, responsibility of board of trustee and third party agencies like custodian and RTA ensures that investors' money remain protected in mutual fund. Now, when you invest in bank, you are dependent upon DICGC credit guarantee because you have no idea where these banks have invested. Only when the fraud happens and it comes to light, then only you realize that this bank is stuck somewhere. The SEBI regulation and the trust structure and the third party agencies, they all ensure that there is transparency and there is protection for investors in mutual fund, which is today superior to any other financial services industry.
And it's also quite transparent, as you say, you know where your mutual fund is investing, right? I mean, when you invest in a bank, you don't know where the bank is lending. You don't know who is it lending, what are the terms and conditions. But it is in a portfolio of a mutual fund, you see which are the companies and how much percentage of your assets are also invested in those companies.
Absolutely. There is absolute transparency. In many parts of the world, you get it with 6 months lag. You only hear and see top 10 investments. But fortunately, in India, we deliver to the last naya paisa and we deliver it at every 15th day. So there is total transparency in mutual fund industry for an investor.
So in when you're investing in an equity, and I'm asking you about equity mutual fund because we're talking about comparing investments directly in equities versus mutual funds. Is there a time frame that you feel people should have? Because, you know, many people, when they invest in direct equities, they don't really have a time frame, right? They just see where the markets are going. If you've got some percentage of gains, listing gains is one strategy that people adopt. And otherwise also, you know, it's very fluid. I mean, you can withdraw your stock after 6 months, 7 months, 1 year. But in mutual funds, when you're investing in an equity mutual funds, is there a minimum time frame that you would advise investors to go for so that the probability of losses would reduce?
So generally, we have been advising long-term investment and it varies from 5 year to 10 year to 15 years and more. If you see the history of BSE, Sensex, we realize that as your time horizon keeps on extending, your probability of losses keeps on reducing. On a 8 or 9 years and beyond, there is absolutely no probability of losses. That means even if you have come and invested at the top of the market and you continue to hold that investment for 8-9 years, there is reasonably good likelihood that it will turn profitable. Longer the better in equity market. However, many a times when people trade directly, they don't recognize the incidence of taxation. And I'm trying to remember someone's quote, which says that if you make 12% return for 30 years, and on the other end, you make 27% return, 24% return for 27 years, and you lose 50% in 3 years, your return will be almost double in first case, but the second will look far more exciting. So in the direct investments, you will have to keep on paying taxes. You go for listing gains. Moment you make gains, you'll have to pay 15% tax. If you try to churn your portfolio fast, you pay 15% tax. That tax incidence will take away your return by a significant margin. But if you allow it to compound, that's where you make maximum gain. In the stock market, I have always recommended people to, you know, watch that Patek Philippe advertisement where they say that you don't own this watch for yourself. You just pass it on to the next generation. The stock market investment should be such that you are looking to pass it on to the next generation. That's where you will see the benefit of compounding. That's where you will see maximum return.
Okay. That makes sense. Nilesh, you know, last question I wanted to ask you. As an alternative to investing directly in equities, are ETFs or index funds, can they be considered as investments as in, you know, as an alternative to investing in direct equities? Because, you know, here you're not taking any fund manager risk and here you're just betting on the market or a particular index.
So definitely ETFs, index funds are also part of the mutual fund offering. And it gives investor a passive management where fund managers have no discretion. They just keep on replicating the index. If you go for active fund management, please ensure that that fund manager is able to add alpha, that is outperformance over benchmark index. If he's not generating alpha, then index fund or ETF fund is far more appropriate for an investor.
Okay. Thank you so much, Nilesh, for your valuable views, valuable insights. I'm sure our listeners would have learned a lot and hopefully not dabbling money in equity markets just for the heck of it and really thinking long-term as far as investments are concerned. And thank you so much for all our listeners also for joining in. Watch out for Invest Mentor series on moneycontrol.com and CNBC for more. And we'll be back with another exciting episode of Simply Save. And in the meantime, do log in to moneycontrol.com for more.
InvestMentor is presented by Kotak Mutual Fund. Mutual fund investments are subject to market risk. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.